Take your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Well, it's so good to see you here this morning. One of the things a pastor has in his life is when people are going to be gone, they want to let me know. And so I've only had about 30 people call me and say, "Oh, Pastor, I just want you to know we won't be here this Sunday, but don't worry, we're just not here this Sunday." So I say, "Oh, that's okay." But then the next one calls, and then the next one calls, and next. And after a while on Saturday night, I'm wondering, "Honey, I don't know if anybody's going to show up." But praise God, you showed up. So we're missing a few. But anyway, it's so good to have you. And if you're visiting with us, you are worth twice as much as the regular visitor because you come on Memorial Weekend. Thank you so very much. And I don't think Ryan Berry, did you introduce your sister? He's gone. He did not introduce his own sister, did he? Ryan Berry's sister is here. Let's have her stand up there. And what's your first name again? Jessica. This is Jessica, Ryan Berry's sister. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, I see that you got all the good looks in the family and Ryan messed out. But that's okay. He got Ann to compensate. And so praise the Lord for that. We love having your brother and sister-in-law on staff here. And then two other of his friends from Golden State Baptist College are here too, as well. Fellas, why don't you just stand up here? I'll not introduce you, but let's give these gentlemen a hand here as well. God bless you. They even had an opportunity to play some softball yesterday as they came by to watch. And then there was a need, so they put on a jersey and played for a little while. Acts chapter 18. We are continuing the second sermon in the series, What God Uses to Grow Your Faith. Things that God uses to grow your faith. And let's all stand together if you found that. Acts chapter 18. We're going to start reading at verse 24 and read down through the end of the chapter. I was sitting here listening to the music and I was looking around the congregation and I saw Ben was here, back from Texas. Good to have you here, Ben. God bless you. And so let's start at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer again, and you may be seated afterwards. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to assemble together. And on this weekend, dear Father, we are so mindful of the supreme sacrifice you gave us in sending your Son, and then the sacrifice that so many of our citizens have given so that we might enjoy the freedoms that we now enjoy. And Lord, we're humbled by that. And we're grateful for that. And Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us in a very special way today. There are so many cares that can fill our lives. Financial, relationships, health. And Lord, I know people here this morning that are dealing with all three of those different trials that life sends our way. But Lord, we've come because you conquered sin, death, and the grave. And Lord, you're our source of victory. And so we come to learn from you, the one who saved us and can influence our life for God and for good. Now, Lord Jesus, if there's someone here this morning that does not know that heaven is their eternal home, oh, how I pray that this morning they will settle that. Lord, it may be that someone needs to take the next step. Maybe this morning they need to profess their faith. Maybe this morning they need to follow you in believer's baptism, as you've commanded all of us as believers to do. Lord, maybe there's a step of faith we're supposed to make this morning. I just believe that having assembled us all together, it's for a purpose. And not especially for a collective purpose, Lord, though we always enjoy that. But for every individual heart, you have a message. You want to speak to our lives as your followers. So give us ears to hear and a heart to obey. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we've looked at the five things that God uses to grow our faith, last week we looked at the fact that God uses practical Bible teaching and preaching. Practical Bible teaching and preaching. We do not look to God's Word for information. We look to God's Word for transformation. In other words, God uses the Word of God not to just give us the facts and the figures, but to transform our lives, even though sometimes we're reading the facts and the figures. It's all for transformation. It's all to make us what we should be. First of all, a child of God, having trusted Christ as our personal Savior. But secondly, a maturing child of Christ, so we're growing in our faith. And God uses the Word of God to grow our faith. And last week we said He uses two specific ways. Now I know there's a lot of ways, but I don't have time to mention all those ways. I only have about, I don't know, an hour to preach. No, I don't. I only have about 35 minutes to preach, and so I'd love to give you five different ways, but I only have time for two. So I mentioned these two last week. God uses His Word incrementally. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So God uses a little truth, a little truth, a little truth, a little truth in increments, a little bit at a time to grow our faith. For instance, you may hear the greatest sermon you ever heard, but you won't remember that. But you'll remember a truth. You'll remember a part of it. And then you'll hear another message and you'll remember a part of it. And God builds incrementally. And that's why it's so faithful. Read your Bible every day. Because every day God has a truth for you. Not the whole five chapters. Not the whole chapter. But a verse will speak to your heart. A phrase. Sometimes just a word. But God will use it incrementally to speak to your heart. That's why we pray on a regular basis. That's why we go to church faithfully. It's not that every Sunday the pastor has the greatest sermon in the world. Well, at this church, you've never heard that. But anyway, it's not that I have the greatest sermon to preach that. It's just that in that sermon will be a truth that God can use to speak to your heart. And by the way, it won't always be the same truth for everybody. I might say one thing and God speak to another heart and then say something else and God uses that to help someone else. So we learn incrementally. Well, we said not only incrementally, but also intermittently. Intermittently. In other words, we grow and sometimes we don't grow. And then we grow again and then we stop and plateau and stay there for a while. And the reason is not because of God and not because of His Word, but it's because of us. Because sometimes we're resistant to truth. And before God's going to teach us another truth, He's going to work with us. You know, about this time of year, a lot of people are getting ready or planting a garden. Some have already, how many have already worked on planting a garden? Okay. How many haven't, but ought to and are going to? Anybody else? Okay. So in other words, you've already worked at it. How many understand this? That the easiest part is putting the seed in the ground. The hardest part is getting the soil ready for the seed. Especially if in your yard you got this red clay stuff. No use wasting your time putting a seed in that ground. You better spend some time on amending that soil. Maybe you better put some sand in the soil. Maybe you ought to put some compost in the soil, maybe some other things. So you enrich that soil, you work up that soil, you blend in that soil. Now it's ready for the seed. See, the easiest part is to put that seed in the ground. The hardest part is to get the soil ready for the seed. Now, the easiest part is for God to let you hear truth. The hardest part is for God to get your heart ready to hear truth. And that's why sometimes we grow incrementally and sometimes we grow intermittently. In other words, we grow and then we just stop for a while because God has to work on our heart before we can grow again. And sometimes it takes a little while for God to work on our heart. And so the Christian life is not just steady progress. I wish it was like that. It's not. The Christian life is like we grow, and then we stop a while. And then God has to work on our hearts some more. And then we get to grow again. And then God has to work on our heart. Because we come to church, we don't get anything out of it. We read our Bibles, we don't get anything out of it. We pray, it doesn't seem like God's listening. It seems like nothing's happening. You know what's going on? God's having to work on our heart. You know, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We got a very wicked heart that God has to deal with. And sometimes He has to correct us. Sometimes He has to edify us. He has to build us up. He has to do so much in our heart to get us ready for the soil. And then He plants the seed and we get to grow again. Oh, it's always fun when you get to grow. So God uses, one of the ways God uses is practical teaching and preaching from God's Word. We grow incrementally. We grow intermittently. So the key last week was, if you'll keep taking in truth incrementally, when it's time, you'll be able to grow intermittently. So keep reading your Bible. Keep going to church. Keep having a prayer life. Keep serving God. Because that consistency is what God will use so that intermittently you can continue to grow. But if you ever get to the place where you're not taking in anymore, then you don't get to grow even intermittently. Understand that? So when you get to that place, you stop reading your Bible, you stop praying, you stop going to church, you stop taking in, then you might as well camp right there because that's where you're going to stay. You're not going to grow spiritually if you stop taking in. You have to keep doing that. Now, the second way that God uses to grow our faith is what I'm looking at this morning, and it's providential relationships. Providential relationships. In other words, God uses people that He has introduced into our lives to help us grow in faith. And that was the case here with this great man called Apollos. Apollos was a great preacher, a fiery preacher, an enthusiastic preacher, an evangelist, if you will, but he only knew the baptism of John. So he knew the baptism of repentance, but he didn't understand grace. He didn't understand salvation. He didn't understand the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is powerfully preaching what he knows. And then there's a young couple who's been influenced by Saul of Tarsus, later Paul the Apostle, and they've influenced Paul, and Paul's influenced them. And Paul's shared with them the gospel of grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as he's been taught in Arabia, and he shares with Aquila and Priscilla, and so they understand truth. And then they hear Apollos and they say, you know, he's on track. He's just not arrived at the destination. He doesn't have it all together. And so they bring Apollos to themselves and they teach him more perfectly the way of the Lord. And having taught him more perfectly the way of the Lord, then he becomes a great preacher, even preaching to the Jews, proving that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and doing it from the Old Testament, the Word of God. So God used him in a significant way, but only until God providentially brought into Apollos' life the relationship with Aquila and Priscilla. Providential relationships. Who's changed your life? If you're here this morning and you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because God has providentially brought some people into your life that made a profound difference. Now, folks, that's true all throughout Scripture. Elisha had his Elijah. Samuel had his Eli. You know, just over and over in Scripture, you can see that. The disciples had the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy had his Paul. John Mark had his Barnabas. Everyone had a mentor. Everyone had a teacher. Everyone had a relationship that God providentially brought into their life that helped them become the Christian they are. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 to his disciples, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, come learn of me. Here were fishermen. Here was a tax collector. Here were just common workers, and their lives were forever changed because they came in contact with Jesus Christ providentially. God directed all that. And God directed the people that came into your life. My life is a product of people whom God has blessed me with to come into my life. I'd say, first of all, with a godly mother and godly father. My mother and father went to church and got right with God when I was 8 years of age. They were already saved. They were backslidden out of the will of God, not really serving God until I was 8 years of age. And God did something. God did something. And when God did something, we not only went to church, we could have camped out there. I mean, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night. I mean, every time there was a cleaning day, we were there. Every time the yard needed mowing, we were there. We just almost lived at church. We could have saved rent. Just bring our beds and put them in a classroom. That would have worked. We were there all the time. By the way, my brother, my two sisters were all serving God. All the grandchildren, all saved. It's because my mother and my father made a decision. I have a godly mother. And next month I'm going to go see her for a week and just spend some time with my godly mother. She's 81 years of age and just sweet, doing fine. My father's been in heaven now for about 3 years, or time flies, maybe it's four. I can't remember. He went to heaven when he was 80 years of age. What a powerful influence my dad was on my life. My dad was one of the boldest witnesses I've ever seen. I mean, just bold in his faith. Everywhere he went, he shared his faith. He worked at one company for 5 years and led so many people to Christ there. And then one day the boss said, "Jim, I don't want you sharing your faith here anymore." And my dad said, "Oh, that's okay. I'll look for another job tomorrow." And he turned in his resignation that day. He said, I'm not going to work anywhere. I work for Jesus. If they won't let me share my faith, then no use working there. Because I'm a Christian. I'm going to share my faith. And that's the way my dad was. He came out here, maybe three times in 30 years, And so, but one time my father was here and I took him out, knocking doors, meeting new people with me. And so I took him soul winning with me, and I'm knocking on a door and someone comes and I said, hello, I'm from Grandview Baptist Church and we're visiting the area. This is my father who lives in Tennessee and he's out visiting with me. And oh, what a beautiful day it is, you know. And we'd sure love to have you come visit us at church and everything. And my dad, he just hits me on the elbow like this and he says, what we want to know is, are you saved or not? Dad didn't have no polish about him. I mean, he just right to the point. Are you saved? And I said, Dad, I'm getting around to it. He said, well, you're taking too long. Get right to it. Are you saved or not? But you'd be amazed. That wouldn't work for anybody else I know, but it worked for my dad. He got to lead so many people to Christ. He told me about one time he pastored a country church 8 miles down a gravel road in Arkansas, way out in the country, and he was driving down. My father, he'd take small churches and then grow them. But he'd go soul winning every single day. Every single day. He'd go out visiting, trying to reach people, trying to win people. Those country folks he'd win to Christ. Some of them never been in a church and he'd lead them to Christ. He was driving down a road, a gravel road, and he drives around and it's like the Holy Spirit said, witness to that guy. And my father, if God told him to do it, he's going to do it. So he pulls over and the guy's mowing his yard with a push mower. And my father stops the car, walks up to him and just starts looking at him. My father told me this whole story. He's just looking at him. And the guy's like, what in the world? What's this nut doing? You know, he turns off his mower. He said, can I help you? And my father's just looking at him. And the guy said, is something wrong? Can I help you? And here's what my dad says. He's looking at him and said, I was driving down the road and I just got to thinking, I bet you don't really want to go to hell, do you? Not much polish in that at all. By the way, I wouldn't recommend it. If I tried that, I'd be in jail. That's just me. But my dad said, I bet you don't want to go to hell, do you? He said, no. He said, do you know how to not miss hell and go to heaven? He said, no. He said, well, go get your wife and sit on the front porch and I'll tell you both. And they did. And he led both of them to Christ right there. Now, by the way, that's not my method, okay? I like to smooze a little. I like to get to know someone and then share the gospel. And a little slower, a little kinder, but I get to the same point. You got to place faith in Christ. And but my father gave me a boldness to share the gospel. And I've always had this strong desire to share the gospel. I got that from my father. He cared about whether people went to heaven or hell. He cared about people he worked with. He cared. He knew people had an eternal soul and he wanted them to know about Jesus. And that's what he passed to me. And then I had my pastor, Brother Paul Sitton, Pastor Paul Sitton. Just a small church, ran about 70. But what a great man of God he was. What a great influence on my life. He taught me to love people. He taught me to love the Bible. Love the Bible. Every Wednesday, my pastor would have a Bible verse for everyone in our church. There was only 40 of us on a Wednesday night, but everyone had to memorize that verse. On Sunday morning, we memorized verses. Every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, memorizing Scripture. 90% of all the Bible I've memorized in my life, I learned as a child in that church. God used that. My pastor's still alive. About 91, he's losing some of his memory and stuff. He's lost most of it. But just a godly man. had a tremendous impact on my life. I went to Bible college and there was a man, Dr. Joe Ainge. And he preached to all the students on Sunday night. We had campus church on Sunday night, about 600 of us. And he'd be preaching the Word of God. He was powerful. He used to pastor a large church, and he was a powerful preacher. And he'd preach about winning the lost world to Christ and sharing the gospel of lost sinners. Oh, it just speak right to me. After that sermon, I'd always go out and just walk around the campus for about an hour at night. And I'd just pray and cry and say, Lord, please use me to win people to Christ. Lord, please let me see people saved. Lord, please let me be used to make a difference in someone's eternity. He made a difference in my life. God uses providential people that He brings into your life to grow your faith. I could go on and tell you about great men of God that I've had the privilege to learn from. It made a tremendous difference in my life. And if you're here this morning and you're serving God, God's brought people into your life that's made the difference. He brought these providential relationships, mentors, role models. You know, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. God's brought people in your life. Maybe it wasn't a pastor or evangelist or missionary. Maybe not a mom or dad, but maybe a Sunday school teacher. Maybe a co-worker. Last week, we had a tour group from Golden State Baptist College. And as normal, my wife and I take that tour group out to eat. We went to Izzy's Pizza. Shouldn't have gone there last Sunday because it was so busy. We waited for about 45 minutes. One of us there, I saw Charles and Linda Kidwell. They always go there and meet with Charles's mother. And so they were there. And while we were there, I saw a banker that I just met at our church. He'd come and looked at our facilities and stuff. And his parents were there. And Charles introduced me to a man. He said, years ago, we used to ride the bus together downtown Portland, and that's we worked down there. And while we got to know each other, found out we were both Christians, and we would study the Bible as we went down together, ride the bus and study the Bible. And for years, and the man said, Pastor, that's been almost 20, 30 years ago. That was a long time ago. But if you think Charles Kidwell's a good teacher, it's because God's brought some people into his life. Iron sharpeneth iron. And those years of riding a bus Monday through Friday, going to work, studying the Word of God with another believer, God used to make him what he is today. And so it is in all of our lives. God has used people that He has brought together. Let me mention basically two ways that God uses people to grow our faith. First of all, He brings people into our life with proximity. Proximity means it's simply nearness, closeness. He brings people within touch. And sometimes God brings somebody to cross your path that stays in your path. And God uses somebody because they're close to you. Maybe it's a co-worker. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's a pastor. I would hope that somehow in these 30 years, that some way, somehow, God's used my life to touch the lives of other people here at Grandview Baptist Church. I think in some measure, God has used that. In larger measure, there's been so many of you, your lives were already touched by God, but used other people like myself to touch your life way before you ever came to our church. But in every one of our cases, God has used people we were close to. Close to. If you're serving God today, chances are you can point to a godly mother, godly father, godly grandparent, godly aunt or uncle, godly co-worker, godly Sunday school teacher, preacher. Somebody got close to your life and started influencing you. Proximity. Somebody was in your area. Somebody God providentially brought your way. Maybe it was that new person at work. Maybe it was that new Sunday school teacher. You had a bunch of them, but finally one you started listening to. One of them was excited. One of them cared about you. Maybe you sat under the ministry of a lot of preachers, but one of them connected with you. One of them you got something from. One of them you understood what he was saying. One of them you related to. There's something about that. It's not always the same people for all people. Maybe I could have an influence on one life, but not on another. But God will use someone else to influence your life. And so it is, God brings people into our lives. By the way, God brings us as individual into the lives of others for the same purpose. So if you're here this morning and by God's grace you have some wisdom about the Scriptures, you have grown your faith, God brings other people into your life for you to be the influence on them. That's the way God does. Proximity brings people around you. But not just that. The second thing I want to mention is predominance. By the way, let me give you a few scriptures here with proximity. 1 Corinthians 4:16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul saying, follow me. He's saying this to people he is close to. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. But the second is predominance. Somebody has the overwhelming influence in your life. And maybe it's someone who's not even close to you. You say, Pastor, how could that be? Well, maybe they wrote a book that changed your life. Maybe they preached a sermon and that helped you, but you never got close to them. But what they said helped you. Some of you, and I've known this in 30 years I've been out here, a lot of people I've met have been led to Christ listening to someone preach on the radio. Just think how many people got saved listening to Billy Graham on television. But they don't know Billy Graham. They've never been in the same city that Billy Graham has been in. They've never had an introduction. They've never shook his hand. But they say over 100 million people have trusted Christ as their Savior listening to the ministry of Billy Graham at some time or the other. I'm saying he touched a lot of lives, but not because of proximity, not because they were close to him. They've never been in his home. They've never shaken his hand. But he had a message that had a great influence on their lives. Predominance. There is people that God brings into your life that have influence, and then there's people that God brings in your life that has a predominant influence on your life. Their influence made the difference. Made the difference. God has lives for you and I to touch where we're not just a little influence, but God has allowed us to press wonderful privilege of having the predominant influence on someone else in growing their faith in Christ. We certainly ought to be thankful for those people. Awfully thankful for those people. They've had a predominant influence. 1 Corinthians 4:15, the Apostle Paul's writing these Christians at Corinth. Here's what he says. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul says you've got a lot of people to influence you, but not many people led you to Christ. He's saying that was me. You have a lot of people who influence your life, but not many have the predominant influence. God grows us through providential relationships. who has had a big influence in your life? When you're my age or older, many of those who've had the predominant influence in your life, they're already in heaven. They're already there. Most of my mentors are in heaven now. But their memory lives on, and the lesson I learned from them, I will keep to the grave. And it will be a part of my life because they had a predominant influence in my life. God brings providential relationships in your life to grow your faith. If you're here, probably somebody invited you. Somebody had some influence in that. Somebody said something. Somebody gave you an invitation. Someone gave you a flyer. Someone gave you a pamphlet. Someone gave you a tract. Someone just said you ought to come. Some way, somehow, God providentially worked it out so somebody had some influence over your life and you said, okay, I think I'll check it out. That's just for a church. Imagine your Christian walk. Somebody's influenced your life for good and for God and allowed your faith to grow. Now, God wants us to be that in someone else's life. Make it so. Now, if you're still at the age in your Christian walk where you have not matured very much, let me just say that God's going to use the teaching and preaching, but that's not going to be enough. God wants to bring a person into your life that makes the teaching and preaching real for you. So God wants you to get close to someone that will help you grow in your faith. Find that person. Get close to them. Let them change your life for good and for God. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He wants to save you. He loves you. He died for you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. He died so you could go to heaven. But you must personally receive Him as your personal Savior. He came into His own and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you're willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Savior and your personal Savior, and yield your life to Him, He will save you. If you're here with us, and maybe you've already done that, but you've never made a public profession of your faith, or you've never been baptized scripturally, it's something God wants all of us to do. He commanded us to be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's His command, not ours. Maybe God wants you to grow in your faith and make some spiritual decision this morning. Listen to God. Obey Him from the heart.